Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-285-4765 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-285-4765. Again, 800-285-4765.
This is Killer Innovations, a show about ideas, creativity, and how you can innovate. Welcome to the Innovator's Garage, where you learn to create your next game-changing killer innovation.
Welcome to Killer Innovations. I'm your host, Phil McKinney. We are back here in the studio. We've been wrapping up an East Coast trip, taking a look and meeting with innovators in non-obvious industries and in non-obvious places. So we will have some of those shows upcoming. We may actually try to release some segments early, but we've been focusing here this time of year on the East Coast. So we've been everything from Iowa to Kansas to Illinois, Indiana, and have just met some amazing innovators who are doing just some absolutely amazing things. And again, if you're a longtime listener of the show, you know that I get on my high horse on the fact that not all innovation has to happen in Silicon Valley. Even though I've spent a good chunk of my career there, there's great innovations occurring all over the country and all over the world. And part of this new effort that we're working on here at the show is to highlight those innovators and kind of show what they're up to. And everybody kind of thinks of innovation as just being high tech. You know, there's always some kind of tech correlation to it, but that is not the case. And that's actually part of a little bit of the topic for today, is how do you think about innovation in a much broader context, and not just in the innovation as we normally think about it as game-changing breakthroughs, but to look at it with a little bit of a kind of a different set of glasses. And so today we have a special guest, Stephen Wonker. Stephen comes to us. He's very well known, has been connected into the innovation community for quite some time, worked very close with Clayton Christensen over at Harvard. And if you haven't read any of Clayton's books, then stop now, go buy one, and you got to catch up here a little bit. But Stephen's got a book called Costivation, Innovation That Gives Your Customers Exactly What They Want and Nothing More. So, Stephen, thanks for taking time joining us here at Killer Innovations.
You bet. My pleasure.
So before we get started talking about your book and this concept of costivation, give us a little bit of background about yourself.
Sure. So I started my business life as a consultant, but I quickly became convinced that I just loved starting things. So I actually led the team that created one of the first smartphones back in the 1990s. Which we did on behalf of both Ericsson and Motorola. I started one of the first mobile marketing companies, one of the first mobile commerce companies. So built and sold a couple companies. I never thought I'd be a consultant again, but as you mentioned, I hooked up with Clayton Christensen back around 2004 as his writings were really taking off, and I helped start up several practice areas. And I have been doing innovation consulting and writing and speaking basically since then.
Well, it's quite interesting. I started off my career doing startups, and then I ended up running one of the global practices at Computer Sciences Corporation. So as we say, you know, is the consulting the dark side or, you know, right?
There's a giant sucking sound that brings us to it. But it's fun to see so many different things. I think I learn a lot more that way. But it is awfully satisfying to see things through. I will totally grant you that.
Yeah, and I think it's also good from the standpoint of any consultant of having actually run businesses versus being a professional consultant, particularly as you and I were laughing before we started the show today around how many tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people are hanging their shingles out as the innovation consultant or the innovation guru. Hey, let's talk a little bit about costivation. What is this term, costivation? What do you mean by it?
So this is about applying the tools and skills of innovation to the cost side of the business, not just the revenue side. So how can you take radical steps in your cost position by using some of those tools, copying from the playbooks of some other companies that have run those plays, and reimagining what's possible in your industry? You go way beyond lean and incremental innovation to the really big stuff.
Well, it's interesting because I think, you know, tell me if I'm wrong, right? Most companies don't think about innovating on the cost side.
That's right. Innovation is for those folks in the white lab coats, and it's about doing new products. But even when it's new products, they tend to be more expensive, more profitable, which is great, right? You don't want to neglect that. But there's an awful lot of opportunity in the guts of the business, the overall business model, but then things like the supply chain and how you interact with business partners that often have real opportunities to either create just immediate profits or to make your products a heck of a lot more affordable.
So, you know, look, you know, we look at the global economy, we're seeing economic expansion. We're seeing really the global play, right? Products and innovations coming from all over the world. What are some of the trends that are really creating this need more now than ever for companies to innovate on the value of increasing value but at a reduced cost?
Yeah, it's a good question. Look, there's a lot of people who are not growing with the economy. The median incomes, not the average incomes, but the median incomes in the country are largely flat after accounting for inflation. And if you look at the bottom 90%, which is a heck of a lot of people, then you know, the median incomes are quite flat. So there are people who can't just afford to buy the iPhone 10. They need something that's relevant to them. But, you know, moreover, look, we're in a great part of the economic cycle. And the one thing we know about economic cycles is that they're cycles. They don't last forever. We've gone 9 years without a recession. It's been terrific. But that is going to be the longest period since World War II that that's happened. And look, I think it would be foolhardy to not plan for downturns because you can't just flick a switch and have a radical transformation in your costs. By the time the recession hits, it's a little late to start thinking about those things.
So, Stephen, is it really cost around a specific product, or is it just the overall cost model of a business? Because what I'm looking for here is, if I've got a high price, high margin product, and I buy into your concept of costivation, do I then do another product that's aimed at that market, and do I kind of give myself some optionality, or is costivation more fundamental to just how I run my business?
So, look, it can be both. You can have a step change product that just comes in at a dramatically lower price point and probably tailored for a different sort of market. We use an example about medical devices where Medtronic did that. It invented the pacemaker, but it was missing out on a bunch of business. It had a lower end offering that for principally for Europe. But there's a lot in the guts of a business that can really transform. The product is going to be part of that usually. Certainly the customer understanding is going to be part of that because you don't want to make people feel gypped. You need to delight them. But a key tenet of costivation is that you look across the business. You blur the boundaries, and in doing that, that's when you really unlock the full potential.
Yeah, I mean, because, you know, it's hard to get to a cost-optimized product if your overhead and management structures and marketing and sales costs aren't in line to be able to support that lower-cost product, right?
Well, that's absolutely right. But you need to, you know, look at where you can shave costs and where not. So let's look at restaurants. Restaurants are often trying to upsell you. Would you like some dessert? Would you like the martini? And that is one model of restaurant. But when Benihana came around, you know, people think of them as, oh, that's great, entertaining, the teppanyaki Japanese restaurant. But it is also a really low-cost restaurant to run because you've got three options on the menu. You have chicken, you have beef, and you have some kind of seafood. And there's very little spoilage because you only have three options. Moreover, the kitchen isn't at the back of the house. It's at the front of the house. So almost all the restaurant is actually revenue-producing and not some cost sink in the back of the house. So, you know, the product, it's still chicken, right? But the way that they do that unlocked a whole lot of profit potential.
But in this case, cost of the way you've described the whole concept of conservation to me, though, it's fundamentally different than just the straightforward process of just cutting costs. It's almost got to be almost philosophical to the management team about how they think about their business.
That's right. You need to have a clear focus and then have a relentless pursuit of that focus. Now, if it's just about cutting costs, you're going to be like Ryanair, the European airline that tried to charge people to use the bathroom. There's a limited shelf life to that strategy. You've got to really delight people. We use the example of Planet Fitness, which, yeah, it is a low-cost gym, but it leads the industry in customer satisfaction because it's laser-focused on the casual exerciser that doesn't need a lot of the frills that bake in costs into the traditional gym model.
Well, and I guess that ties into a little bit of your title, right? Driving to a cost-ovation strategy, but that delivers the product exactly for that market segment, exactly what it is they want. So we're going to take another quick commercial break. When we come back, we'll pick up our conversation with Stephen Lunker, talking about his book, Cost-ovation, and the whole strategy of looking at cost models to create products and services to serve a marketplace that you may not be serving yet today. So stay right there. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
In the know, I'm Brian Osuch. Mike Savicki is a C6-7 quadriplegic who is a Navy veteran, multi-sport athlete who stays on the go. He says when it comes to mobility and transportation, there is hope for those who are disabled.
It's about finding wheelchair-accessible vehicles and solutions that allow us to drive or be transported to be a part of society, which is what we with disabilities really want most of all.
Mike still drives and lives an independent life.
I was introduced to a wheelchair-accessible vehicle through a local Namita dealer who taught me about getting in and out with my wheelchair, driving with my hands, and about the fact that I can get my driver's license again and I can have that independence and freedom.
Many call Mike a hero, and he's urging others to enter the local Heroes Campaign Contest for a chance to win a wheelchair-accessible van tailored to meet their needs.
Go to the website mobilityawarenessmonth.com and share a short story or a video that tells us about who you are and what you're doing that makes you a little special.
For more information, go to mobilityawarenessmonth.com. Now you're in the know from Numita.
Five things you can count on when using LegalZoom for your business. Number one, reliability. You know, more than a million people have already trusted LegalZoom to help them start their businesses. In corporations, LLCs, nonprofits, DBAs, and more, use LegalZoom to get started the right way. Number two, experience. You can count on LegalZoom for all of the details. They've been helping all types of business owners for 15 years. Number three, helpful support. They have the right people standing by, ready to help with your questions, all based in the U.S. Number four, legal advice. LegalZoom isn't a law firm, so they built a network of independent attorneys available in 48 states. You'll get answers to your legal questions, and they can review supplier contracts, employment laws, and help with most of the day-to-day situations that pop up. And finally, number five, there are no surprises. LegalZoom provides complete transparency with upfront pricing and customer reviews with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Make the smart choice for your business today at LegalZoom.com, and don't forget to enter Ray in the referral box at checkout. LegalZoom.com.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy. pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-521-9579 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-521-9579 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-521-9579. That's 1-800-521-9579. Again, 1-800-521-9579.
Life insurance is one of those things that just about everybody needs, but few people actually have. Hey, if you die unexpectedly without life insurance, guess what? You'll leave your family with even a bigger mess. Life insurance will help replace your family's income. It'll help cover burial expenses. Life insurance can even help pay off debt like credit cards and medical bills. Life insurance can even pay for college. And if you own a business and you die, life insurance can help your business from collapsing. It can even help cover estate taxes. Life insurance has never been more affordable and needed. Plus, you can always shop around even if you have a plan and save some money. So call the Life Insurance Quote Line right now for free pricing information.
800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. That's 800-915-9658.
Biz Talk Radio. This is Killer Innovations, a show about ideas, creativity, and how you can innovate. Welcome to the Innovator's Garage, where you learn to create your next game-changing killer innovation.
Welcome back to Killer Innovations. We are continuing our conversation with Stephen Walker, author of Costivation. We're going to continue our conversation about cost as an area of focus for innovation. Now, Stephen, when I think of looking at cost models and supply chain and strategies, et cetera, I think of it as really as just, you know, almost, you know, not to sound negative, but it's kind of a strategy to go down market. But can you use this strategy to disrupt an industry, to really change how the whole industry operates?
You totally can. And, you know, in the process, you can actually get some people to trade up as well because you're just a cost advantage. So, you know, recently we've been seeing a lot of advertising by a company called Quip that makes electric toothbrushes. Now, historically, electric toothbrushes from some of the market leaders, they're $50 to $100. And Quip is out there saying $25. Now, you know, how do they do that? So they don't invest in a big brand name. They've got their own brand name. They market directly to the consumer, so you don't have Target and Walmart taking their markups there. But moreover, they get you to sign on for a continuing stream of toothbrush head replacements, sort of like Dollar Shave Club does with razor blade replacements, just at a much higher price point. And so by doing that, they're locking in that revenue, and they're actually making some very nice margins on that. So the people are trading up from their basic Oral-B toothbrush or even the ones that vibrate a little bit, but they're not going to the far end of the market. They are making the electric toothbrush, a reasonably sophisticated but not full of bells and whistles electric toothbrush, accessible to people. So you see that in industry after industry. It doesn't have to be the cheapest product in the block, but it should be affordable for the performance tier that's going after.
But at the same time, though, you could – well, let me ask you a question. Is there – do you have an example of a cost-evading company that has gone the other direction and catered to high-end clientele?
Yeah. So you think about small cars. So, you know, traditionally small cars are not a profitable part of the automotive industry. And when BMW said they were going to go into that market, people thought they were nuts. But they brought out the Mini. They rejuvenated the Mini brand, which had been defunct for decades. And rather than making it a cheap small car, it's actually quite an expensive small car. although it is an inexpensive car to produce because there's only a couple chassis types. Where they ended up earning the premium was in very low-cost things to do. So the stickers on the hood and the racing stripes you can put on, things that make it an almost infinitely customizable body at super low cost, and yet keeping the guts of the platform, the chassis, fairly straightforward and simple to produce. So, you know, for them, they're taking their money on the price premium rather than making it a very inexpensive vehicle.
So as you looked across a whole wide range of industries in the book. Did you come across any kind of patterns that you found that were common across companies, that across industries? Is there a common kind of way to think about this?
Sure. So we found three common steps that basically everybody did. And then we looked also at different parts of the value or supply chain, whether it's with suppliers and how they make the product, how they move the product. And then there were certain plays that people ran there. And we've got a playbook of 20 of them in the book as well. So the three steps are that first people got a breakthrough perspective. They stepped back from their industry. They critically examined very long-held assumptions and took a fresh look. Sometimes those people were at startups. Sometimes they were in very well-established companies like BMW, but they did that. And then they had a relentless focus. They knew who their customer was and what really mattered to them. So the customer was often delighted while also being served at low cost, like a Planet Fitness customer or Mini customer is. And then they were also willing to blur the boundaries. They looked at all the aspects of the business, not just the product, although the product is usually important, but throughout, and how they reach the customer, how they lock them in for the future, the service, the experience. And through doing that, they could also create customer delight, but they made sure that because of the focus, they were able to do that in a simple, low-cost way.
So that does, though, create a challenge, right? You give the three things here. So it's breakthrough, it's focus, it's willingness to blur the boundaries. The challenge with a lot of leaders, CEOs, is they have a hard time really getting that focus down, right? So how can leaders narrow down what to concentrate on to really make that innovation and that cost-cutting efforts mesh, right? Because it's a little bit schizophrenic, right? I got to go, I'm creating something new, but now I'm using some form of a constraint, in this case, to think about it differently on a cost basis.
That's right. So it does require stepping back and looking at things in a very cold-eyed, objective manner, not about who you've historically served or what you've historically been great at. That, you know, that matters, but what also matters is who's underserved. Where are people undershot? Are there particular customer types you've been serving that are very expensive? Have you been offering the same sales process for all your customers, even though some actually should be much cheaper to sell to than others? So step back, re-examine those assumptions, and then choose, which is hard. But if you don't choose, you're going to try to be spread out like peanut butter, and that's very hard to create an efficient, breakthrough, imaginative model while trying to be all things to all people.
Yeah, I mean, and as I was saying, that is the one challenge that, a lot of organizations, when they focus on innovation, they're looking for that game-changing breakthrough, premium, market differentiator kind of an approach. But constraint actually can be used as, at least in my experience, as a catalyst for even better ideas rather than having it being open-ended, right?
Totally. Look, if you throw in the kitchen sink, then you're going to get a pretty convoluted product. Look, when I led one of the first smartphone development projects, you could actually send a fax from our smartphone. Now, I have no idea why anybody would want to do that. You could do it if you really wanted to. At the same time, there's this company that nobody ever heard of called Research in Motion that came out with this thing called the BlackBerry, which we thought was this cheap, low-end, simple device. But they cleaned up because they had a focus.
Yeah.
And they left out the facts. That was okay.
Yep. Well, it's funny, one of the things that I hadn't brought it up yet, but I was the guy who acquired Palm when I was a CTO at HP, right? And then you look at what Palm did when it went after the Newton and won against the Newton, because it only did five things, and that was it. It only did five things, not 500 things. We're going to take another quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with Stephen Walker, talking about his book, Cost Evasion, and continue that discussion. So don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
Time changes everything. For me, becoming a single father of two young kids, it changed my ability to use my timeshare. The frustration of not being able to use it was compounded by annual maintenance fees that nearly tripled over a three-year period. I was desperate to get out. After searching online for sell my timeshare or get out of my timeshare, it just looked like one scam after another. I needed a real, permanent, and legitimate way to get out of this for good. I'm Brandon Reed, the founder of Timeshare Exit Team. We will get you out of the timeshare you can't use or can't afford anymore. We get people out safely, legally, and permanently. We are more successful because we have more solutions. Schedule a free consultation to review your ownership situation and find the best strategy for you. If we can't get you out, we will give you a full refund. Call Timeshare Exit Team today.
Call 800-929-8112. That's 800-929-8112. That's 800-929-8112.
Call Timeshare Exit Team today.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-569-3414. That's 800-569-3414. Again, 800-569-3414.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing at 800-557-6095 immediately. That's 800-557-6095. Page Publishing is looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to them and give you their feedback. If they like what they read, they'll get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. They handle everything: editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, then you need to call Page Publishing and do it immediately. Call 800-557-6095 now for your free author submission kit. Again, for your free author submission kit, call 800-557-6095. That's 800-557-6095. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call. Call Page Publishing at 800-557-6095 for your free author submission kit.
As a small business owner, there's one word that you absolutely dread: payroll. For small businesses, it's a big burden. You may think you're saving time and money doing it yourself, but come on, are you? Timesheets, processing checks, calculating taxes, a total waste of your time. Paychex simplifies payroll processing, saving you time and money. Submit your payroll online, fax it in, or call your dedicated Paychex payroll specialist, and you're done. Learn more at trypaychex.com. Come on, do the math. The IRS dishes out 8 million penalties a year. Make one mistake and you're on the hook. On average, you're losing nearly one business day every month doing payroll. That's time and money you'll never get back, unless you get Paychex. More than 500,000 small businesses already do. Call 877-649-5324. Trade payroll pressure for peace of mind. Call now. 877-649-5324. That's 877-649-5324.
Got an old car? You can donate it, whether it's running or not, to the United Breast Cancer Foundation and save a life. They'll even come and pick it up for free. The United Breast Cancer Foundation has saved hundreds of women's lives through their free or low-cost breast screen exams. But now they need your help. The United Breast Cancer Foundation wants to save more lives through early detection by offering women free or low-cost breast screening exams. And donating your old car, SUV, or truck, whether it's running or not, helps pay for them. Plus, you get a charitable tax deduction. Help the United Breast Cancer Foundation save lives by donating your old car, SUV, or truck. Call now for free pickup. 800-245-0473. 800-245-0473. 800-245-0473. Call right now. That number again is 800-245-0473.
Biz Talk Radio. This is Killer Innovations, a show about ideas, creativity, and how you can innovate. Welcome to the Innovator's Garage, where you learn to create your next game-changing killer innovation.
Welcome back to Killer Innovations. I'm your host. We are continuing our conversation with Stephen Walker, talking about his book, Costivation, and how to use cost in a, as a different way to think about the innovation and target and potentially address more specifically the needs of your target customers. So, you know, Stephen, your book, you have 20 costivation strategies that you list out. Do you have one that's kind of maybe a favorite of yours?
So, look, any of them can be powerful in the right circumstances, but I love how some of them are sort of counterintuitive, but really have been super impactful. So look at postponement, which is basically saving customization for later. So in the potato chip business, there's all sorts of potato chips in those grocery shelves, right? I don't know how many stock keeping units, 50 at least, maybe 100. So one of the favorite potato chip brands in the UK is called Salt and Shake. And these are unflavored potato chips that come in, you know, basically just plain potato chips. And they have separate sachets of salt or flavor that you can mix in yourself to create the flavor that you particularly like. So, you know, the wonderful thing is it involves the consumer in the experience. It gets them the product that they like exactly. And you know what? It's a heck of a lot cheaper because you're only basically selling one kind of potato chip. And then there are partnerships, too, which can be counterintuitive but very effective. So Whirlpool, they make big washer and dryers that are actually pretty light. And Dahl Tile, a tile company, makes kitchen tiles, which are sort of small but really, really heavy. So Whirlpool trucks used to go out filled but very light, and Dahl Tile trucks went out almost empty but super heavy. Now, these companies got together, and they have nothing else in common except they are delivering to a lot of the same places, and they have merchandise which complements each other. So now trucks have these big, bulky washer-dryers as well as kitchen tiles, and they're maximized both for volume and weight. So you wouldn't think about that unless you really step back and question some of the big cost drivers in your business and the assumptions that you've long held, which drive those costs.
Well, and your point there is, you know, stepping away from the assumptions, right? We all get caught up in the way we've always done it, kind of the folklore rules of an industry or of a company, and your willingness to kind of throw those assumptions out the window. So, Stephen, if I and the listeners, we're this far into the show, we're bought in. Got it. Your points are right on. The next question I would be asking is, okay, so what advice would you give me? How would I get started?
So the last chapter of our book is called A Checklist for Getting Started. Subtitle was Monday Morning, What Do You Do? And you know, as you said at the start, we've both been on that side of the table where, you know, we're running a company, we got to do this. So, you know, we try to be applied. So, look, first step is learn from the past. If you've tried innovating in the past, what's gone right, what's gone wrong, what never got off the ground? Are there any organizational issues, sales channel issues, strategic issues that either turbocharge or derail what you're doing. So, you know, you know what you're getting into. Then you step back and really define, okay, so what are the boundaries of what's in scope here? Is it okay to rethink the product? Is it okay to alienate a sales channel or to, you know, create a separate sales channel? You know, as you said before, constraints are really useful. They focus the mind. So establish those constraints. Then you can really start on that process. Let's have a customer in mind. Let's really understand what they're trying to get done in their lives, not what they're buying today, not what they say is important in terms of a list of features, but really what affects them deeply and motivates both demand as well as non-consumption. Once you have that, then you can start unbundling your assumptions about the business, questioning those long-held beliefs, creating a focus, and blurring the boundaries across these different parts of what you do.
So, I mean, everything that you just said could be applied to almost any innovation process, not just cost evasion.
Well, you know, that's the thing. What we're trying to do is apply the innovation toolkit to costs, to the business model and the cost drivers. Look, you know, the irony of the innovation world is that there are very few new ideas.
shush, you're giving away the secrets.
So, look, I think this is a new application of innovation tools, but the tools in themselves aren't all that new. They are things that I've been using for decades. You know them well. It's the application in a way that's disciplined and process-driven, in a way where you can, like, crib from other people's playbooks. That makes it accessible for people who aren't in the white lab coats.
Well, and that's it. Everybody thinks, you know, Nina, you and I were talking about before we started the show today, you know, about how many consultants are hanging out their shingle claiming to be the innovation expert. In reality, it's not a black art, right? The skill's well known. You can practice it. You can become proficient at it. You can become very proficient at it. And have an impact on whatever it is you want to focus on. And in this case, I think what we're talking about here today with you is something that, you know, I guess I have looked at it, but I've always looked at it for cost within a product, right? How do I take, you know, what would I need to take out of a product to be able to produce that for 25% less, right? But it's not just the cost from the standpoint of the, you know, bill of materials or supply chain cost. It's really about what you're proposing is really taking a look at cost, but cost that aligns with also delivering exactly what the customer wants and therefore actually deliver even, quote, higher value at a much lower cost, which is different, which is what I appreciate from this conversation today is you're causing me to even kind of take a step back and go, hadn't thought about it in quite that way. So, Stephen, if you want to follow you and what you're up to, what's the best place for them to keep up with what you're working on?
So we have a blog on the blog channel Medium. It's called New Markets Insights. We tweet at Costovation. We have our company website, New Markets Advisors. We're out there. We're doing a lot of speaking and interviewing. And writing. I enjoy the writing. So, you know, when we see examples, we love to get them out there and say, hey, look at this. And, you know, hopefully we don't just want to, like, talk at people. I would love for people to bring things to our attention and create a dialogue, too.
Yeah, and, you know, I know you've written, you know, for Harvard Business Review and other publications out there, so people can search and find, you know, your past writings and your past articles. So, and the book is out and fully available, right? So, people should go out and find the cost evasion and take a read through it. I'll tell you that you will get a lot out of it and you will not be disappointed. Hey, Stephen, with that, thank you for taking your time. As we wrap up this segment of the show, don't go anywhere. When we come back in segment four, we do have another episode of 5 Minutes to New Ideas. You don't want to miss that. And check out that in the next segment. In the meantime, if you've got a guest that you think would be great on the show, just drop me a note, phil@killerinnovations.com. Love to give some people the spotlight who are doing interesting things, thinking about things in a little different way, and transforming their business, their community, and their lives through innovation and creativity. So drop me a note. Love to hear from you. Also, check out the shows over at the Innovators Network. That's who distributes our show. There's some other shows that are coming online here. There's Kim McNicholas's shows over there, so you want to check that out. She's been on the show many, many times. She's an Emmy Award-winning Forbes reporter who lives in Silicon Valley and produces the Kim on Innovation, and you can check out what Kim's up to. And with that, we're going to take this quick commercial break, and when we come back, we will have a new episode of 5 Minutes to New Ideas. You're listening to Killer Innovations on the BizTalk Radio Network.
In the know, I'm Brian Osuch. Mike Savicki is a C6-7 quadriplegic who is a Navy veteran, multi-sport athlete who stays on the go. He says when it comes to mobility and transportation, there is hope for those who are disabled.
It's about finding wheelchair-accessible vehicles and solutions that allow us to drive or be transported to be a part of society, which is what we with disabilities really want most of all.
Mike still drives and lives an independent life.
I was introduced to a wheelchair-accessible vehicle through a local Namita dealer who taught me about getting in and out with my wheelchair, driving with my hands, and about the fact that I can get my driver's license again and I can have that independence and freedom.
Many call Mike a hero, and he's urging others to enter the local Heroes Campaign contest for a chance to win a wheelchair-accessible van tailored to meet their needs.
Go to the website mobilityawarenessmonth.com and share a short story or a video that tells us about who you are and what you're doing that makes you a little special.
For more information, go to mobilityawarenessmonth.com. Now you're in the know from Numita.
Autism. One out of every 68 children in America are impacted across every race, ethnicity, and socioeconomic group. If you aren't directly affected, someone you know is. Today's world doesn't support those on the autism spectrum. It needs hacking for us to truly welcome those who think and create differently than ourselves. We're Hacking Autism, a nonprofit charity with a mission to hack therapy, technologies, and career opportunities that improve the personal and professional lives of people on the autism spectrum. We believe that everyone can play a role in supporting those on the autism spectrum so that they can show their unique talents and abilities in this fast-paced world. You aren't powerless in this fight. Use your gifts and talents to make a positive impact. Join us in making a difference. Go to hackingautism.org to learn more.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-285-4765 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-285-4765. Again, 800-285-4765.
This is an urgent health notice for all residents suffering from back, neck, knee, and wrist pain. You may qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you, but the deadline is fast approaching. Simply call the Health Alert Hotline now.
You heard right. You may qualify for a pain-relieving back, neck, knee, or wrist brace. These items may even be covered by Medicare or your private insurance. The Health Alert Hotline is your brace company. These specialized braces have been tested for pain relief. Call us toll-free right now to determine your eligibility and to learn how to use your private insurance or Medicare to minimize your out-of-pocket cost. Don't wait. If the deadline passes, you may lose your opportunity to get a pain-relieving back, neck, knee, or wrist brace at little or no cost to you.
800-306-1760. 800-306-1760. 800-306-1760. That's 800-306-1760.
Does your water stain and damage your fixtures? Does it smell or taste bad? Are you worried about what's in your water? Water quality should not be painful and worrisome. Get HydroCare Water Systems from Wave Home Solutions with the most advanced purification technologies. Call Wave Home Solutions today at 1-888-989-WAVE or go to greathealthywater.com. HydroCare will eliminate lime scale that causes hundreds of dollars in damage to pipes and appliances without using salt. Well water will no longer smell or stain your fixtures. City water will be purified of harmful chlorine, lead, arsenic, and chemicals. Wave Home Solutions provides the cleanest, healthiest water at every faucet. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, call 1-888-989-WAVE, 1-888-989-WAVE, or go to greathealthywater.com. That's greathealthywater.com.
Wave Home Solutions for a healthy, comfortable home.
Biz Talk Radio.
This is Killer Innovations, a show about ideas, creativity, and how you can innovate. Welcome to the Innovator's Garage, where you learn to create your next game-changing killer innovation.
Back in the early days of this show, I would share what I called a killer question in each episode. These questions were designed to be used in your personal, team, or organization's innovation efforts. Now, based on feedback from listeners just like you, we've decided to bring it back. With some improvements. Each episode of the Killer Innovations has a segment that I'm now calling 5 Minutes to New Ideas. It's designed for the creative mind looking for that next great idea. Each episode will challenge you to think differently about yourself, your business, and your products and services by asking unique, funny, and sometimes crazy questions. These questions are designed to force you to look beyond the obvious and to uncover ideas and opportunities you never before considered. So, get out your notebook and be ready to uncover that game-changing idea. Here is 5 Minutes to New Ideas. One thing is to know what your customers want to do. Another is to understand how they intend to get there. It's easy to look at their goals and tell yourself that your product or service will match their needs. However, if you don't understand their internal philosophy about what they are doing and why they are doing it, you may find that they consider your product a complete failure. Competing companies can have the same goals, but radically different strategies about how to achieve them. One of the clearest examples of this is decade-long tussle between Airbus and Boeing. Both companies brought new long-range aircraft to market at more or less the same time. However, their respective offerings, the A380 and the 787 Dreamliner, reflect radically different ideas of how the airlines will meet the needs and desires of their passengers. Both customers understood the bottom line in their industry is getting CASM, cost per available seat mile, as low as possible. Both claim that their aircrafts are highly fuel efficient. Each also uses radically different new technologies. The 787 is made of lightweight and high-durability composites and advanced aluminum alloys. The A380 boasts new integrated avionics systems in the cockpit, designed with fewer parts to push maintenance costs down, and its cockpit is designed to be simpler for a pilot to switch between one Airbus model and another, this giving airlines more flexibility with their crews. The onboard servers are robust enough to ensure that pilots can safely go paperless. Crews can now ditch their bulky manuals and instead rely on the onboard computers to supply all the charts, logs, maintenance records, and performance calculations they need during a flight. However, the A380 and the 787 reflect completely different philosophies about how passengers will get from one destination to the other. The A380 is a hub-to-hub aircraft. Its size limits the airports it can service. You'll see it at places like London Heathrow, LAX, or Singapore's Chang Airport. You won't see it in Cleveland or Oslo or Fort Lauderdale. Airlines placing orders for A380 are betting on two things. First, they assume that there will be a meaningful number of passengers who are simply looking to fly from hub to hub. Some examples might include the business person in London who needs to make a presentation in LA, or the family in Sydney who wants to vacation in Paris. Second, they are betting that passengers will be willing to adhere to the old model of international transportation and connect from second and third tier airports via the hub. Boeing is betting the other way. The 787 is small and nimble enough to service second tier cities, yet its fuel efficiency allows it to function as a long range aircraft. If Delta's or United's marketing departments decide that Columbus, Ohio needs a nonstop service to Paris, they can do it with the Dreamliner. They could not do it with the A380. Airbus and Boeing both asked themselves the same killer question. What are my unshakable beliefs about what our customers want? Yet, as soon as they asked that question and started to investigate it, they veered off in radically different directions based on what they believed their customers' needs and wants were. Now, the jury's out as to who made the better bet. But my gut instinct is that both companies will struggle before eventually finding a sufficient market share to justify their gamble. Innovation isn't always about betting your competitors. Each thinks they're satisfied one need, but really their customers have multiple needs. A Goliath like United Continental will have needs for an aircraft that can extract the most value from long-haul, large-volume routes, while at the same time having aircraft that can service smaller airports. The bigger problem for manufacturers will be if airlines decide to embrace fleet homogeneity and restrict themselves to either Airbus or Boeing. So don't be afraid to ask yourself, what are your unshakable beliefs about what your customers want? And don't stop there. Dig deeper. Ask more questions. Do your customers and your competitors' customers have the same criteria as one another? Or do they have different needs and selection processes? Ask the hard question. Dig deep on this. It's really understanding what that criteria is going to be, not at just who your customer is, but who their customers are. Had Boeing and Airbus asked that question, they would have been able to discern whether the hub-to-hub model will be the preference or the ability to support second-tier cities became important. The question you need to ask is, how would you engage with your competitors' customers to understand their needs? And how could you align their needs with what you are doing? Don't get hung up on the past. Don't let past understandings or belief tie you up. Go out and validate every assumption and unshakable belief that is inherently built into your industry and inherently built into your business. I'm Phil McKinney. And thanks for listening. Thanks for taking the time out of your busy schedule to join in. If you have any comments or suggestions, drop me a note over at phil@killerinnovations.com. Now, the reason I've been doing this show since 2005 is to pay back my early mentor by paying it forward. My first mentor, Bob Davis, invested an immense amount of time in training and coaching me, which had a major impact on my career. When I went back and asked him how I could pay him back, he just laughed and said, I couldn't. I had to pay it forward. If I could ask for a favor, could you help me pay it forward? How? One, give us a rating wherever you get your podcast, as that helps spread the word. And two, by telling others about the show. This episode of Killer Innovations was produced by the Innovators Network. You can find the show notes and the entire show catalog over at killerinnovations.com. I'll talk to you next week. In the meantime, go out and change the world with your killer innovation. Bye-bye.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or service. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com. Biz Talk Radio.